Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now save $30 on the American-made Steel FS56 RCE trimmer. Real Steel. The FS56 RCE is made in America of U.S. and global materials. Offer valid through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Welcome into Outkick the Show. I'm your fearless leader, Clay Travis, back in front of this mic. Should be around all week. It's NFL draft week. Thursday, when your team's going to convince you they're going to make a huge difference, and then they're going to draft somebody, and the team's probably still going to stink. Sorry if I'm bitter. That's the story for my Tennessee Titans. I got a lot to dive into here. Trump trial underway, protests on so many different campuses that are anti-Israel. Robert Kraft, owner of the Patriots, weighs in. Caitlin Clark, massive Nike contract. New York Times, steroids in China. They're concerned about truth and doping in sports. Zach Wilson, by the way, just traded to the Broncos. TikTok, Patrick Mahomes and The Rock say they're not going to endorse for 2024. A bevy, a bundle, a absolute cornucopia of stories for us to be pursuing here today. I want to start off, actually, because I'm super excited about it, the NFL draft. Is going to be on Thursday. We're doing a live show from 6th and Peabody, downtown Nashville. Me, Chad Withrow, Jonathan Hutton. It will be live. I think we're going to sit there for like the first 10 picks or so. So come 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Central, 6 o'clock Mountain, 5 o'clock Pacific. If you want to hang out with us, we'll be doing a few hours of breakdown, probably through the first 10 picks or so, while we kick back and have a few beers. I think you guys will enjoy it. You can come watch it in person if you want to watch the NFL draft live on Thursday. We'll be out at 6th and Peabody. Again, it'll be streaming. So that will be fun. News already coming out this week, just in the last hour or so, Zach Wilson has been traded from the Jets to the Denver Broncos. Broncos are in dire straits when it comes to quarterbacks right now. But four of the five first-round quarterbacks from the 2021 NFL draft have now been traded. Zach Wilson to the Broncos effectively for a sixth-round pick. Trey Lance to the Cowboys for a fourth-round pick. Justin Fields to the Steelers for a sixth-round pick. Mac Jones to the Jags for a sixth-round pick as well. The 2021 NFL draft, five of the six. We're coming up on the 2024 NFL draft. Five or six first-rounders going to go this year. But four of the five have now been traded from the 2021 draft. Just 3 years later, that's kind of a huge collection of swings and misses in the 2021 draft at the quarterback position. We'll see. They're talking about potentially six quarterbacks being drafted in the first round on Thursday, likely for sure four, potentially five or six. We'll see how exactly all of that shakes out. Maybe even the first four picks all being quarterbacks. I'll talk about that later in the week. But again, Zach Wilson traded nearly cross-country from the Jets to the Broncos. The Broncos are surely in the market now for a quarterback. That's the NFL draft news for today. Several other things that are standing out there that I think are hugely important. The Trump trial started today. I am not yet arrested. You may have seen on Monday, I've been traveling all over the country. I was down speaking in Georgia for a short period of time. Thanks to Kelly Loeffler for having me there. I got to meet most of the Georgia legislative team, and it was a good trip to Atlanta, quick trip. Then I flew basically all the way across the country to Seattle, spoke as a keynote for a big Hillsdale College event that they had for 500 or 600 people out there. The Greater Georgia Economic Forum was the event down in Georgia. Been all over the place. And so you may have seen on Monday, They were Eric Swalwell and a couple of other, Keith Olbermann, a couple of other left-wing losers were fired up because I said, I hope there is someone out there that is on the jury that will be willing to stand up to what I think is an awful precedent trying to put the former president of the United States, perhaps future president of the United States, in prison for the rest of his life over a bookkeeping misdemeanor that has been elevated to a felony that is past the statute of limitations, that everybody already knows the story of. It's been out for years and years surrounding Stormy Daniels. People said, oh, you're jury tampering. Is that jury tampering? I didn't say I wanted anybody to commit a crime. I said that I hope in a jurisdiction where 87% of people voted against Donald Trump, that somehow, some way, we will have some notion of truth and justice in that jury trial, and that we will have someone who is actually able to look at all the evidence and say, this is a far left-wing lawfare. It is an attack, politics in nature, not in fact legal. Alvin Bragg elevates this misdemeanor to a felony outside, in my opinion, the statute of limitations without legal support, because there has to be another crime attached to it to be able to elevate it to a felony at a time when he drops 52% of all felonies down to misdemeanors. He's elevating a misdemeanor to a felony here. They are rushing it through. I hope that we have some jurors who are willing to apply basic common sense to the fact patterns in play. And they said, oh my good, you're jury tampering. You need to be arrested immediately. You are committing a felony. Grow up. Grow up. So far, I have not yet been arrested. I tagged the Manhattan District Attorney's office. I put myself firmly out there in the camp of, if I were on this jury, based on all the facts that we have already seen, based on all the evidence that has been out there for years, I would not vote to convict. I wouldn't. Because this is not a felony crime in my always humble opinion. And I also think it sets an awful precedent. I would vote against a Democrat being convicted for the same charges in my hometown of Nashville. The problem here is we got a rigged jury system. And only Democrats rig jury systems like this. To my knowledge, I can't think of a Republican or red state executive, DA, prosecutor, someone who has tried to get a conviction based on a rigged jury. If we wanted to have an honest evaluation of Trump, an actual honest evaluation of Trump should occur. That's why I haven't complained that much about the South Florida case, because it's roughly a 50-50 jury. And if we're going to have a true jury of Donald Trump's peers, it should be a 50-50 jury, because this is roughly a 50-50 country. Instead, we have got far left-wing prosecutors in far left-wing jurisdictions going after Donald Trump. Nothing even remotely comparable occurring in any red state or in any red jurisdiction. Only one side of the political equation uses the law to try to put their political opponents in prison. And this is why I think the whole Jan 6th argument, I was reading this morning, Liz Cheney has a huge op-ed saying, oh my goodness, you know, that's my voice for anybody who defends democracy, like our sacred democracy is at stake. Everybody knows what happened on January 6th. And you know what will happen in 2025? Democrats will riot if Trump wins. They're rioting all over the place already on Columbia's campus, on Yale's campus. We had 6 months of riots, basically, in the summer of 2020. There's one riot involving people on the right, and we're still getting all the prosecutions taking place. Democrats will riot if Trump wins. They didn't put the plywood in all the windows all over the country because they were afraid that that Biden was going to win. They did it in the event that Trump actually won. So I think all of this is total garbage surrounding Donald Trump. If I were on the jury looking at all these facts based as they have been presented already into the public record, I would vote not guilty. I would hang this jury. I would refuse to convict. Now, is anybody going to be brave enough? There's a 0% chance, given the rig job, that there will be a not guilty verdict for Trump. Best case scenario is, I think, a hung jury and a refusal to get a conviction. Are there one or two people who are reasonable and intelligent and willing to look at all the evidence and reach what I think is the right jury verdict? I hope so. I have my doubts because it's such a rigged jury. Let's talk about this for a sec. These protests, big deal. Columbia, Yale, now at NYU, happening everywhere. Anti-Jewish protest, basically calling for Jews to be wiped out, Jews to be exterminated. When this happened at Charlottesville, and there was a protest that occurred surrounding a Robert E. Lee statue in Charlottesville, Virginia, just off the UVA campus, we had a national conversation. Trump was dragged for his personal responsibility associated with this. Joe Biden lied and said that, or bought into the very fine people lie. That is a lie that has been widely distributed, that Trump called Nazis very fine people. He didn't. He specifically condemned Nazis, but he said the truth, that there are very fine people on both sides of whether we should be tearing down monument debates. I'm on the side of don't tear them down. I wrote about it in my book. Oh, I don't know how the book somehow ended up outside of the video purview here. Let me adjust this in the meantime. I wrote about it in my book, American Playbook, number one best-selling nonfiction book, American Playbook, in America for the week that it was released in what I think it came out in August of last year. I wrote about this in my book. I'm in favor of more historical context, more knowledge of history in general. And as a part of that, I think there should be a discussion surrounding what happened in 2020, all of the monuments getting torn down. To me, that was a failure of American history. And it's interesting, though, that we have seen Biden lied and said, oh, the reason why I had to run for president was because of what happened in Charlottesville. But since Charlottesville, under Biden's watch, since October 7th of last year, 1,200 innocent Jewish people killed by Hamas terrorists because they're Jewish, the largest loss of life of Jewish people since the Holocaust. We have seen hundreds, if not thousands, of protests arise all over the country. And right now, there are protesters, in particular, on Columbia and Yale's campus. We know it happened at Harvard. They fired their president over it. We know it happened at University of Pennsylvania. They fired their president over it. And now, to his credit, New England Patriots owner Robert Kraft has seen what is happening here, and he is saying, hey, I'm not going to allow my money to be spent on any kind of support for what is going on here until I believe Jewish students are safe. I'm withholding all of the donations that I have made to Columbia. And I'll read what Patriots owner Robert Kraft put out earlier. It was through the full academic scholarship Columbia gave me that I was able to attend college and get my start in life. And for that, I have been tremendously grateful. However, the school I love so much, the one that welcomed me and provided me with so much opportunity, is no longer an institution I recognize. I am deeply saddened at the virulent hate that continues to grow on campus and throughout our country. I'm no longer confident Columbia can protect its students and staff, and I am not comfortable supporting the university until corrective action is taken. It's my hope that Columbia and its leadership will stand up to this hate by ending these protests immediately and will work to earn back the respect and trust of the many of us who have lost faith in the institution. It's my hope that in this difficult time, the Kraft Center at Columbia will serve as a source of security and safety for all Jewish students and faculty on campus who want to gather peacefully to practice their religion, to be together, and to be welcomed. Robert Kraft, founder of the Foundation to Combat Anti-Semitism, Stand Up to Jewish Hate. I think it's well said by Robert Kraft. I think it's very interesting, the question that I would ask why are so many on the left so unwilling to condemn anti-Semitism? And if you wonder what exactly is going on here, I flagged this while I was gone. After Iran launched hundreds of missiles and drones at Israel, they had a vote, which you would think is not a very controversial vote to have. They had a House of Representatives vote, and they voted 404-14 to condemn Iran's attack on Israel. 13 Democrats voted no. Democratic no's: Jamal Bowman from New York, fire escape puller; Cori Bush from Missouri. She employed her husband as a security guard and paid him lots of money in campaign funds. Greg Kassar, Jonathan Jackson, Pramila Jayapal, Hank Johnson. Hank Johnson, remember, I think he said that Guam was going to tip over the island if they had too much weight on it. These are really brilliant people. Barbara Lee, Summer Lee, AOC, Ilhan Omar, whose daughter, I believe, was arrested at Columbia and is a student there right now, Ayanna Pressley, Delia Ramirez, and Rashida Tlaib. They refused to condemn Iran directly attacking Israel. Now, a lot of the things that they vote on in the House of Representatives, I think, is very unnecessary, because a lot of times they just have show votes. But the fact that 13 Democrats, all of whom's name I just read for you, refused to condemn Iran attacking Israel, pretty good sign that those Democrats do not believe Israel should exist. And the question that I would ask for Jewish people out there is twofold. How in the world can you vote for the Democrat Party in 2024? That's question one. It is, many of the Democrat Party stalwarts now are anti-Semites.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of steel tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now, save $30 on the American-made steel FS56 RCE trimmer. Real steel. The FS56 RCE is made in America of U.S. and global materials. Offer valid through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Two, and this builds on that, I think, in a significant fashion. So one, how can you possibly vote for Democrats in 2024? And two, have you now recognized that the way that we have created this identity politics coalition, I told you this a while ago, Jewish people are seen as white. So despite the fact that Jews are the victims of a brutal terror attack on October 7th, and despite the fact that Iran is attacking Israel and that Israel is trying to defend itself against the Hamas terrorists, none of that matters. Even the fact that Jews have been historically stalwart allies of black and brown oppressed people in the United States, going back to the civil rights movement and beyond, none of that matters because Jewish people are seen as white. And if Jewish people are seen as white, that means it is impossible for them to be victims. They are colonizers. They are the oppressors. They are the bad guy in this broken identity politics coalition that the left has created in America. Have you seen that yet? I told you it was coming. I saw it in the world of sports. It was eminently predictable that it was going to take over all of America. I write about it. Identity politics in conjunction with cancel culture is, in my opinion, the dual toxic cancerous foundations at the heart of so much American toxicity today. I write about it. I've been talking about it for a long time. All right, several stories. I got some reason for optimism for you. Patrick Mahomes and The Rock have both gone public now. Dwayne Johnson, The Rock, Patrick Mahomes have both gone public and said they are not going to endorse a political candidate in 2024. I think this is a very good sign that we could be returning after a long time to some form of normalcy in 2024. In particular, that means that what we saw in 2020, when suddenly it felt like everyone in the world of sports was aligned against Donald Trump, and they put BLM on the basketball court, and they wrote political slogans on the backs of jerseys, all of that may be gone, and the cultural pressure that was brought to bear from so many athletes out there may be vanishing. The Rock endorsed Biden in 2020. He now says he's not going to do an endorsement this time. Patrick Mahomes was involved with LeBron James in 2020 in political activism. He now says he's not going to be active. I think this is a good sign for Trump, because Trump is going to win men overwhelmingly. Men, by and large, are far more likely to be sports fans than women. And so, as a result, your average fan base is likely to be made up of a lot of Trump voters. And I've said this for a long time. I wrote my last book about it. It was called Republicans Buy Sneakers Too. And it was an argument about why Michael Jordan, Tiger Woods, Bill Cosby, before we knew about his off-the-field related issues, all of those guys, but in particular Jordan and Tiger, the desire to appeal to all sports fans had been repudiated by LeBron James, and the result was disaster for the NBA. They turned off a lot of American basketball fans. And I don't think it's a coincidence that the NBA's ratings have collapsed when they got political. I think this is smart of Patrick Mahomes. I think it's smart of Dwayne Johnson. I think a lot of people are likely to follow their lead as we go forward and continue to break all of this down. So, again, Patrick Mahomes and The Rock not endorsing for 2024. I think this is a significant sign. Caitlin Clark, according to a report, I believe it was in the New York Times, maybe from The Athletic, she got 8 years, $28 million from Nike. I believe there was a story about how this money came to be in the Wall Street Journal, potentially, this morning that I was reading it. I was reading it somewhere this morning. 8 years, $28 million from Nike for Caitlin Clark. Nike has been struggling as a business for much of the last 7 or 8 years. The stock has not done well. Honestly, I told you this, but when they gave money to Colin Kaepernick and they put him in a television ad, the brand has not done well since about 2017, 2018, something like that. Stock is definitely down relative to inflation and way behind where the stock market has been in general. So Nike's trying to get back to it. There's a big article about it in the Wall Street Journal today. Nike is trying to get back to its basic business of just making good tennis shoes and trying to appeal to everyone. It's a huge story with a big interview with their CEO in the Wall Street Journal about this. And I think it's connected to Caitlin Clark giving her 8 years, $28 million. I said this from the get-go. Nike's brand is, if you're the best in the world at something, we're going to pay you and give you a shoe. Signature shoe. Now, I don't know how well the Caitlin Clark shoe will sell, but 8 years, $28 million does not seem to me to be a massive investment overall for Nike. What is that? A little bit over $3 million on average a year for Caitlin Clark. Relative to Nike's size, I think they do $50 billion a year in apparel sales, shoe sales. That's nothing, right? I mean, this is a pinprick. I think it could be a good investment. Not surprisingly, however, Caitlin Clark already being attacked, they're saying the reason that she got this money is because of racism. USA Today already writing the identity politics level attack. You knew it was coming. It was inevitable. They try to divide us. They try to tear us apart. You knew that this was going to happen. It already has. But congrats to Caitlin Clark. I'm a capitalist. I'm in favor of talent being rewarded. She's a very talented women's basketball player. A lot of people seem to be paying attention to her games based on the ratings. I would think there are a lot of little girls who might buy the Caitlin Clark shoe. This seems like a good investment to me for Nike. Elite athletic success in the Jordan model deserves elite payment. I'm a capitalist. I want everybody who has the biggest audience to make the most money because I want to make as much money working as hard as I do as I can. Congratulations, Caitlin Clark, on making the money that she is. I saw this story on Sunday. I mentioned that I read a lot. So I get asked every now and then, hey, Clay, how much time do you spend preparing? The answer is all of it. I read all day long, every day. You ask my wife, you ask my kids. If I'm going to do 3 hours of radio and I'm going to do this show and I'm going to write, I got a story up about streaming and how I think it's broken on OutKick today. Encourage you to go read it. You can go see it on my Twitter feed. I'm going to pin it up near the top. If I'm going to spend all this time, you know, 4 some odd hours a day on average, talking to you live between Clay and Buck, between this show, between all the Fox News hits, if I'm going to do that, then I have to feed my brain with a ton of information to make it as understandable and to give you as much depth of knowledge as I can. So I read all the time. New York Times front page story on doping in Chinese swimmers. And it felt like such a throwback to me to read this. Front page, Sunday New York Times story. Hey, we got a big expose. We've caught athletes cheating, putting steroids, doping. Felt like a throwback to 20 years ago or 15 years ago, the steroids era in baseball when Congress was doing their investigations, Mark McGwire, Barry Bonds, all of that crew. Roger Clemens, they prosecuted people over it. It felt quaint to me, though. The New York Times cares desperately still about male athletes, probably female athletes as well, doping to give themselves a competitive advantage to be able to win a championship. They won't write about trans athletes who are men pretending to be women, though. The New York Times cares if men use illegal substances to give themselves a competitive advantage and wins awards, gold medals, championships as a result, but they won't similarly cover men who identify as women and win women's championships, which is happening all over the country all the time. I'm in favor of rules and regulations being established and fairness in competition, whether it's age limits in Little League or weight classes or men's sports and women's sports. And I'm in favor of catching people who cheat and give themselves a competitive advantage as a result of doping, steroids, anything else. How can the New York Times be putting doping scandals on the front page and not covering men who decide to identify as women and win championships? If you care about fairness and competition, what's a bigger advantage? Going through puberty as a man and being a full-grown man and getting testosterone on levels beyond belief for your average woman, or using steroids? If you're gonna bust athletes for cheating, isn't the number one cheating right now men pretending to be women? It just felt very quaint to me. If you're gonna cover doping scandals, it seems to me like you should be covering men pretending to be women scandals. Yet OutKick is the only place that will do that in all of sports. Just worth mentioning. Tomorrow, I may talk about this tomorrow because it's a big story and I want to give a deep dive on it. So I'm going to star this. TikTok is on the way to being banned. And banned is a bit of an expansive definition, but basically there would be 1 year required for TikTok, which is owned by a Chinese company, to be sold to an American company. And we're setting up for a huge battle over this. My position is, I don't think TikTok should be banned, but I think we should have mutuality of competition in America. And if China is going to ban Google, if they're going to ban Twitter, if they're going to ban many different, I think they ban Facebook, they ban OutKick. If you're going to be banning the free and fair internet and companies are going to be banned and not allowed to compete in China, we should have mutuality of competition. Just as China won't allow Google and Twitter and Facebook, I believe, all to compete in their markets, why should we allow a Chinese-owned company to compete in our market? If China wants TikTok to be here, I think an American company should buy it. And I think an American company should be committed to content-neutral policies. So I don't believe in like shutting down TikTok and not allowing it to exist in this country. But I believe that we should not allow Chinese tech companies to have free reign of American markets when Chinese government officials will not allow American companies to have free reign in China's markets. Those are my thoughts in general. I'll talk about TikTok a little bit more. 54% of you, I think, with over 20,000 votes, believe that TikTok should be banned. Again, my position is I don't believe in banning, but I do believe that TikTok should be owned by an American company. All right. I love all of you. DBAP, unless you need to SBAP. Thursday show, 6th and Peabody for the NFL draft going on. Look forward to that. Should be a lot of fun. Appreciate all of you. I'm back in the saddle this week. Much of next week as well. Got a bunch of different travel going on. But I appreciate all of you. Go read that article that I've got up at Outkick. DBAP, unless you need to SBAP. I am Clay Travis. This has been Outkick, the show.